Thank you, Brother Leslie. Brothers and sisters, I'm glad to be with you this morning and hope that I can bring you something that will help to stir your minds, that we might draw in our minds and center them upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I look back over so near 100 years, it's almost frightening to me. And think of the changes that have come about in this room. Now, of course, 100 years ago, or 80 years ago, 90 years ago, wasn't the same walls, wasn't the same ceiling, wasn't the same floor, but it is the same space. So as far as I'm concerned, this is the room I grew up in. Although the surroundings have changed. And I'm grateful that God has given me the privilege of still being here and bearing witness of the truthfulness of His love. I want to bear witness that God is the same. He hasn't changed. His promises are sure, and I have found them to be dependable. I look back over the years of my life, and I'm grateful for the many blessings that I've received. I'm grateful for a set of parents who were strict with me and saw that I obeyed orders. And my mother had a way of persuasion. And I'm sure all of you know what that way of persuasion was. And you know, God has that same ability to persuade us to do what's right. And I'm glad that I had a parent, a set of parents, that caused me to realize that we must walk the straight and narrow way in order to arrive at our goal in heaven. And I'm sure that none of us want to miss out on that occasion of heaven, but that we want to be where there is joy and happiness, and it's available. I want to bear witness of God's love, and I want to read from His Word. He said unto His 12, "Go not into the way." "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Those words come on down to us, his children, today, to his servants especially, and those of us who have the responsibility of preaching the gospel should take note. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor brass for your purpose, nor a script for your journey, neither two coats nor shoes. Do we have that kind of faith today, brethren? We must have it. I'm speaking to the ministry. We must have it. We've got to have faith in God. And if we don't have it, the sheep over which we have care will be neglected. But we have other words to turn in Matthew to more words that Christ gave to us. Let's see here. Just get to the right place. Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and checked them. And others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. How is our soil? Are we awake? Excuse me. Are we ready to do what God wants us to do? What are some of the things that we should do? I wonder how many of us, and as a bishop, you shouldn't be surprised at me hearing me say this, how many of us pay our tithing? When I was a lad, I learned that that was one thing God required of us. And I decided that's what I was going to do. 1/10 of my income was going to come to the Lord's house. I wonder how many of us are thinking of that and practicing it. And I'm not scolding, I'm just suggesting. I found that by doing that which God has said do has made a big difference in my welfare. God asks us 1 penny out of 10. $1 out of 10. 10%. I wonder, are we doing it? If we're not, let's think about it. I found that when I did, the Lord blessed me. However, there are other things that are necessary for us. Do unto others as we would have others do unto us. Do we? How much time do we think about doing unto others as we would have others do unto us? I hope we think about it all the time. Because, brothers and sisters, it brings a great satisfaction. It brings a great joy. It brings a feeling of comfort that we have obeyed God and kept His commandments to that extent. And He says, keep My commandments. And when we do, we're prospered. Oh, yes. We're going to be tried. God says that He will have a tried people. And I want you to know that I've had trials, and they have been stringent trials. But I have sought to stand and accept those trials and put my faith in God, and He's brought me through. And here I stand, only 3 years away from a century. And I'm grateful unto God that He has let me come into this room down through those many years. As I say, the walls and the floor and the ceiling and the seats aren't the same. They're far more comfortable today than they were when I was a little boy and sitting back there they were just hard wood. And I'm grateful that you have a comfortable back to lean against and you have a comfortable seat to sit on. That isn't like the one I grew up on. It's good to improve. And I'm glad that I have been permitted to live to see the day when things are far more comfortable for the audience to sit on and listen to the speakers. I'd like to read another scripture. And then in the 13th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 24th verse, we found these words. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the plague was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence came the tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou that we should go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while thou gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat also. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather together ye the tares, and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And another parable put he forth unto them. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed that which a man took and sowed in a field, which indeed in the least is the least of all seeds, and when it is grown, it is greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And another parable spake he, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, and the whole was leavened. And all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been secret from the foundations of the world. Then Jesus said, sent the multitude away and went into the house, and the disciples came to him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the leaves, of the tares in the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and turned and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of God, or of the Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so we find that we're in that situation. We're in the world. Excuse me. We're in the world. And we've got to let the light that God has given us shine, are we? Are we? I hope so. Because when we do, somebody's going to look and see that we're different. Do we laugh at all the dirty jokes that come along? If we do, we're participating in them. Do we participate in the things that the world is enjoying that is not pleasing to God? I hope not. But they're around us. And we've got to be careful. There's a song I once heard, and I'm sure we all have heard it. Don't step there. We recognize, don't we? Don't step there. There are places for us to walk, and there are places for us to stay out of. And that's why we come together, that we might remind ourselves. I have to remind Nicholas right along. Don't step there. Because temptations are with us daily. Are we misstepping? If we are, let us take notice. And don't step there. In the 23rd, or in the 13th chapter of Matthew, starting with the, let's see, 44th verse. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found the pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Why? Because it was of great worth. Are we looking for the important things? I hope so. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels and cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Of course, we want to be sure that we have avoided that situation. How? By the choices we make from day to day. Are we making the wise choices that will lead us into that heavenly kingdom? Now, no, you're not indifferent, I am. You have temptations to do right. You have temptations to do wrong. So do I. Every day. And I've got to decide whether I'm going this way or this way. And sometimes it's rather difficult to decide which way to go. But I have to decide what the price I'm going to pay to go this way, or the price I'm going to have to pay to go that way. And then decide, is it worth it? Will it bring me eternal life? Or will it bring me eternal death? Again, the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven, is like unto a treasure hid in a field, and which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and with joy thereof, again, I'm going to get this up here where I can read it better, he goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found the pearl of great price, he sold all that he had to buy it. All of our efforts that we have are worth our putting forth our efforts to serve our Heavenly Father. I haven't forgotten when I was a boy in school, and I noticed there are a few boys in the room in school. And I had times when I had to decide whether I was going this way or that way. And I knew the way I ought to go. But I had an awful lot of pressure to go the wrong way. And occasionally I gave in to the pressure. But you know what happened? It cost me like everything when I went the wrong way. It cost me everything. I was awfully sorry I did. And when I went the right way, I had a feeling of happiness. I had a feeling of accomplishment. I had done something that was worthwhile when I went the right way. And I don't suppose the girls are any different than boys that way. I never was a girl. But I raised a girl. And you know, I noticed that they all had the same problems, deciding which way to go. And all of us boys have a lot of problems, don't we? How do we come to decide which way to go? We've got to appeal to God. We've got to appeal to our Heavenly Father. And I hope that each one of you young men, you boys, of course I've got gray hair now, but it wasn't very long ago I sat right where you're sitting, and I was just your size. And I had a lot of decisions to make. And I found out that when I chose the way God would have me to go, I ended up a very much happier boy, a man. I ended up a happier man than I would have otherwise done. Now, not being a girl, I can't tell you about girls. But you know, I don't think there's a bit of difference between them. I think girls have just as much trouble in deciding right and wrong as boys do. What makes me think so? Because I raised one. And I watched. And she had the same trouble deciding what to do and what not to do as I had. We all have to decide whether we're going to serve the Lord or rebel against Him. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. In the 47th verse of the 13th chapter of Matthew, we find these words. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that is cast into the sea, and it gathereth in of every kind, which when it is full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the goods into vessels, and to cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. We want to be sure we avoid that, don't we? We want to be sure that we aren't caught in that kind of situation. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? And they say unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, and which bringeth forth out of the treasure both things old and new. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come unto his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? They knew Jesus had grown up, and they said, where'd he get all this information? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph, and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence hath all this man all these things? They marveled that Jesus knew all these things, and he hadn't gone to college. And they were offended at him because of it. But Jesus saith unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and among his own house. Do we have any tendency to sit in judgment upon our brother or sister? Should we? No. We have a responsibility of setting the example of righteousness before our fellow men. Yes, I've got gray hair, but you know, boys and girls, I remember when I was a boy and a girl, a boy at school. It wasn't very long ago. And you boys that are young, our boys right now, won't be very long until you have gray hair just like I have. You're going to grow up awfully quick. And if we will stand for that which is right against the things that other people might say and make fun of you about, when you grow up, you'll be strong and you'll be a leader. And that's what I hope each of you young boys will be. And also that goes for the girls. It goes for the girls just as much as it does for the boys. You're going to be the leaders in a few years. So I hope that you will think about what Jesus wants you to do and what Jesus wants you to be, that you might be strong and lead people the right way. May God bless each of you, is my prayer.